What we're doing tonight isn't a normal Sunday evening or Sunday morning service either, but we do believe that God is sovereign. And so whoever he has brought tonight, he has brought to be with us here. And we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about some things for us as we move forward as a church. As the men finish giving out those papers, way back on March 7th of this past year, this current year of 2016, we had a question and answer time for me as the prospective pastor of Bible Community Church. At the time, I was the interim pastor, and I mentioned then what I had mentioned to the elders a couple of times during my year and a half here as the interim, and at least one time to the pulpit committee. Maybe I'll just wait for y'all to finish getting those. All right, if you want to just hold off from reading any of those yet, we'll get to those in just a minute. All right, so if could have your attention up here, that would be good. We are called, well, before we go further, let's just stop and pray together, okay? Let's pray. Father, we do come before you tonight, and we are seeking your face, and we seek your guidance. We seek your grace that we so desperately need each day. And I pray that what we do and say tonight would bring glory to your name, for the good of your people in Bible Community Church and for the good of others who are outside of Bible Community Church as well. We pray, Lord, that you would put your gracious hand of blessing on us tonight, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are called to be a light in a very dark world around us for Christ. And as I would come across people in our community that we are called to minister to, and also in ministering to people who have in the past at times been part of Bible Community Church, and just in everyday conversations with people, I found at times a repeating theme. And that repeating theme is that there is a group of people, I would say that it's even larger than we would care to think it is, that we would care to admit at times in our community that has either had ties with us as a church or as a school. And they are out there, and a large number of them, I do not believe that we have reflected well to them the Lord Jesus Christ in a Christ-honoring way. Now, a good number of them, I would have to say, have been sinned against in a, perhaps by our ministry, whether that would be us as a church or us as a school. And that's the ministry that is our home. We are Bible Community Church and Mentor Christian School. Now, I mentioned the night of March 7th that I believe that we ought to recognize publicly where we have not portrayed Christ as we ought to, and we ought to confess that, we ought to turn from that, seek to make reconciliation with those people as much as possible as we can. So we began the process as elders the next night, and let me just say right up front, it has been difficult. It has been very difficult. Today is August what? 14th, and we began this process on March 7th. So it has not been easy for any of your elders at all, nor for myself included. We had Jim and Dan on our elder board at the time, and when we started and when they went off, we added John and Wayne. So that's just when the turnover for two elders going off and two elders coming on came. We had to back up a little bit and get them up to speed. And this, in addition to all the other issues that we as elders really desire to deal with and help us as a spiritual church in Jesus Christ. Now, this has been very heavy. This has been a very heavy weight for every one of us who are your elders. We have had to deal with some specific examples that have been painful to deal with, and we've had to look in the mirror. And we have dealt with some examples that we know about, and we've also dealt with, we haven't dealt with, but I'm sure there are other examples that we don't know about that we're not aware of at the same time. I don't like dealing with problems. Is there anybody here who likes to deal with problems? 20 years in the ministry, though, I've learned one thing about problems. If you ignore them, they just go away, and they'll eventually come back again. So it's kind of like weeds in your garden. If you just pull the tops off, then problems will continue to come back. And so we want to deal with problems in a Christ-like way. And next Sunday, we are welcoming into our fellowship, Emmaus Bible Fellowship. And several along the way had issued a concern that they would like us to try to take care of this before, in whatever way is needed, before joining in the merger with Emmaus. So that's why tonight is the night that we are working through this. Now, as we begin this, I think one of the hardest things for any group of people, whether that be Christian or un-Christian people, is not really wanting to look into a mirror and self-diagnose ourselves. Is that easy or hard? That's very hard for all of us. And it's painful. And being out of American Christianity for about 19 years was a big help to me in personally being able to see some of the places where I think that we have needed to diagnose ourselves. And I've sought to help us in doing that. Now, it has not been easy for me. I've had to say things that are very hard, and every time I have to say them, I don't enjoy doing it. I get no pleasure out of it, but it's because we love Christ and we want to go forward for Christ. It has often been depressing for me, as sometimes the growth in these areas is much slower than I would desire us to have. But if our identity is found in Bible Community Church, we will not be willing to look in the mirror. If our identity, though, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do this because all of us stumble in many ways. James says that. We all stumble in many ways. I have stumbled in some of these ways as a minister of the gospel in another country. But because our identity is found in Christ, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is patient with us, not because he's happy with everything that we do, but because he wants to bring his children to repentance. So every believer in every church ought to desire to live in a way that's pleasing to our Lord and to our Savior. Now, maybe you are very new here, and you say, I don't know anything about this. What's this about? Well, if that's your case, then you really don't have anything to worry about. Welcome. The Lord brought you here on this night. But before we read through the letter, I'd like to say a few things about who this letter is not for. All right? This isn't just a letter for anyone in the world. This is not a letter for people who have heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and have turned their back on Christianity because humbling themselves before Christ was offensive to them. All right, this is not a letter for someone like that. Secondly, this is not a letter for someone who, as one young man, I believe, who grew up here, has said, I knew I was doing wrong and I just didn't care. All right, this letter is not for someone like that. In those two cases, what those people would need to do is recognize their own sin before God, repent of it, confess it, and turn to Christ. That's what all of us have to do. Now, this is not a letter for you if you've just attended church here or someone who's been a part of our school ministry and they haven't had any problems that they can think of that they believe that they were sinned biblically or unbiblically, sinned against in a way there. If that is your case, amen and praise the Lord. That's wonderful. That's good. Well, then who is this letter for? Well, this is for people, some who are fellow believers, and some others who are non-believers. And we as a ministry, a church that also runs a Christian school, we have actually sinned against you in some different ways throughout the years. It could be in the distant past, it could be relative past, or it could be in the last, just the last couple of years. This is for people like that. Because of who we are, sinners, saved by grace, we recognize that we all stumble in many areas, and we all have sinned against others as well. And what we want to do is be quick repenters. But this letter is directed to people in this category of, as a ministry, we have sinned against you in different ways. And this is not done to clear our name. Our name is not what is important. This is done in a spirit to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ, where there are areas where we haven't done that. And again, it may not be that we have done that intentionally. Okay? We can sin unintentionally. We probably do that many times every day. But there are things that have been done intentionally, and there are things that have been done probably unintentionally. This is not to clear our own name, but it is to bring glory to Jesus' name. Something that none of us, no one of us, has ever done perfectly. However, we want to confess where we have sinned, and we want to ask forgiveness, and we want to seek reconciliation. So, if you turn now, you have a letter that's dated August 4th. Does everybody have that? A letter that says August 4th? Okay, and we will just go ahead and read through this right now. It says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for, or to shepherd or feed, the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Acts 20:28. "As the elders here at Bible Community Church, we understand that we have the responsibility of caring for those who come to worship at this church, as well as facilitating a Christ-centered focus and atmosphere in Mentor Christian School. We recognize that while truths of the gospel message have been preached and taught, and while many people have been saved and well-trained in scriptural knowledge, those fundamental truths have over time been mixed with incorrect or proper applications. And though we have much to be thankful to God for in this ministry, we ought not to move forward, dedicated to Christ-likeness as we desire to be, until we acknowledge where we have been wrong, ask forgiveness of those who have been affected by it, and seek reconciliation with them, if at all possible." Matthew 18:6-7 say, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in Jesus to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." We wouldn't just say a man there, we would say people, since this is us as a ministry. "As we have sought to biblically evaluate our past as well as our present, seeking to yield to the Spirit and the Scriptures rather than tradition, God has brought to mind the following areas and passages we need his help to obey more consistently. 1, while God calls a believer to a new life of holiness, at times there has been an incorrect emphasis on standards and morality, which leads to a legalistic understanding of the gospel, which is a seeking to gain or maintain God's approval on the basis of our own conduct." Now, when we look up there at the words incorrect emphasis, thinking about that just a little bit further this afternoon, and it may not be an incorrect emphasis. We want to, it is important to have standards and morality, but what I think is where we're trying to get here is when we get that in a wrong order. When we put sanctification, which would have to do with our standards and morality, and we get that in front of justification and regeneration and salvation. And again, I would say that I don't think this has been something that's intentional. We don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to do something to get things out of order. I don't think that's intentional. Satan is our great enemy, and I think he desires to cause us to fall in many ways. And this is one way that he has always worked ever since back in the very beginning of the church with the Galatians. You think of Paul and Peter and Paul writing about Galatians there. It says then further, "In addition, we acknowledge there have been times when tradition or the words of men have superseded the rightful authority of Scripture. Salvation and assurance, as well as godly living, find their source in nothing other than the finished work of Christ on our behalf. A life marked by both continual repentance and the fruit which the Holy Spirit produces proves the genuineness of our faith. Where we have sinned in giving you an incorrect view of Christ and his work in this way, we ask you to forgive us." And then we have two verses here. 1 Peter 1:16, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." God calls all of his children to the highest standard of perfection, himself. No person can stand in place of God as that standard. We will seek to use God's own words as our guide to following him, not traditions or the words of men. And then 2 Timothy 2:19, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. God preserves his children, and his children obey their father. The power and ability for a believer to know that they are God's child rests in the perfect work of Christ. As the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus is the guarantee that what God started, he will finish. We as God's children have the responsibility to obey God and put sin behind us by dealing with it at the cross. We know that the Spirit is the one enabling us to do that. All right, and I just wanted to pause there. And if you say, Mike, well, can you give me an example? And I've been thinking about this a lot. And I, last year, before school started, you ought to have two other pages, one with two about Men of Christian School Standard of Conduct. Does everybody have those two pages? I just mentioned the getting of sanctification. Whenever we get sanctification before salvation, regeneration, or justification, we always fall in danger of legalism or moralism. And I, last year when the Code of Conduct came out, received that at home, and I really was rather discouraged when I got that, because I thought, this is something that I have been trying to preach against for about a year, and I wanted to show what the differences are. We actually changed the standard of conduct last year, and I wanted to point out tonight some of those differences. Let me just say, first of all, I believe we have a very large number of unsaved students at Men of Christian School. One danger that we have, that we can fall into, is if I send my kids to a Christian school, they're Christians. And we have to be very careful about assuming that, because how do you know if someone is a Christian? Well, because they say so. Is that a good enough thing? No. How does the Bible say that we know someone is a Christian? By their fruits. Okay, by their fruits you shall know them. And the Bible gives us a very clear list of what those fruits ought to be. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that only the Holy Spirit can produce in someone. And so if you look at the one... there's just one page to it. There's one with two sides and there's one with one side. Look at the one with one side. Again, I believe we have a very large number of unsaved students in MCS. I would believe more than the majority if you examine people's fruits. We can't be understood to say that you're okay if you go to a Christian school, and you're unspiritual if you do not. In fact, on the back of our bulletin, when I arrived 2 years ago, it said we have a Christian school and to help you with the education of your children. And then it also said we also have we also support homeschooling. Well, what that says to people that we are called to minister to is that if you do not use our Christian school or homeschooling, then we just said immediately, if you looked at that, we do not support you. And that is by no means, I think, the message that we as a church want to give to people. I'm all for Men of Christian School. It's a good thing, especially with what's going on in our world. It's good to have Christian education. We need that in our world today. There's nothing wrong with that. We're promoters of it. But we have to be very careful about that. We just said by that statement that if you use a public school, really you are not welcome here. And intentionally or unintentionally, that's the message that comes across. That is not the message I believe that we want to give as a church to people who come in that we are called to minister to. Now, if you'll look on that first page there, the second paragraph down, the following general items of conduct are required to maintain unity within the school. Rebellion or antagonism concerning these standards goes against the principles of a unified Men of Christian School and cannot be sustained if enrollment is to continue. What I would just like to say in that first, those first two paragraphs, if these things that are mentioned below are truly biblical, then we need the gospel and we need the Holy Spirit to be able to keep them. Now, if they are not truly biblical, then, if you don't have the gospel, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you have no power to keep some of these things. And so if we have unsaved students and we require them to sign all of these things, then we're saying without Christ, you have the ability to obey and do these things. Does that make sense? Well, let's look at a couple of them. Number two, honor, respect, and obey parents, teachers, staff, and civil authorities. How many kids in our school do that perfectly? Zero. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that being the goal. All right? There is nothing wrong with that being a goal. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. But it also adds, in the Lord. Okay? A child without the Holy Spirit, without Christ, has no ability to obey his or her parents as he should. And those of us who have the Holy Spirit have not obeyed our parents perfectly either, or any other authority that is in our life. Number four, seek to spend personal time with the Lord each day in Bible reading and prayer. All right, that's a good goal. Someone without regeneration will have no desire to do that whatsoever. So is that something that we should require? Number five, you, as a parent, you can require that. You can say, this doesn't make you a Christian, but this is the time that you are going to spend praying or reading your Bible. I want you to be exposed to God's word. Okay, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but putting a list down like this tends to make people think, if I do that, then I'm okay. All right, number five, seek to be an example of the believers in everything they do, including providing good examples of leadership to peers as well as to younger students. How can you be an example of a believer if you are not a believer? Six, seek to serve others in a spirit of humility. Without Christ, there is no spirit of humility, and probably much less is there a desire to serve other people. Number seven, seek to be a verbal witness and testimony to the lost. Will anyone without Christ seek to do that? No, they can't. They really don't have a desire to do that. Number 14, refrain from lying, cheating, stealing, and obscene or suggestive language, gestures, jokes, or materials. What happens is kids will be asked to sign this, and with no heart change, if I just fulfill a list of things, I will be okay. I'm a spiritual person. I'm a good kid. Again, intentional or unintentional, I don't believe that this is intentional at all, but that is the message that we give when we get sanctification in front of regeneration and justification. Does that explain a little bit of what I'm trying to say? Okay? Now look at the second one, if you would. Before we look at the second one, if you go back to the first one, I'm sorry, the third line down. There is the line in the third line down that mentions Christ. It says, good behavior must come from the heart in love and obedience to Jesus Christ and should not be mere conformity to man-made regulations. We would agree with that. I think we agree with that 100%. But at the same time, we don't have any room in that standard of conduct for when you do fail. Kids and parents are all going to fail in the things that we just had somebody sign there. They're going to fail, and sometimes many times. And then the question, what are you going to do when you failed? What should we do when we sin? Go to the cross. Go to the cross of Jesus Christ. Or are we just going to label you as rebellious? And I think there is a lot of history that has just labeled people as rebellious because they didn't do certain things that were on our code of conduct. Now, is that rebellious? Yes, it is. But the problem is not that you're rebellious. The problem is that your heart is not right with God, and you're living in rebellion to him. All right? That was my idea there. So we're not going to read through the second one. The second one is the updated one. And if you'd like to, I would just point out there are two things there. The first eight things that are mentioned there. Those are things that if you have a secular job, those are things that you have to do. Okay? Respect the authorities who are over you and graciously accept correction. Faithfully be a part of a Bible teaching and preaching local church. Well, that's one of the requirements that the school says that you need to go to a Bible preaching or teaching church. Well, if you want to come to school, you have to do that. Okay, that doesn't mean you're saved or not saved. That's just a simple requirement. Keep the dress code of the school. I think of John Davis. He works for UPS, not allowed to have facial hair. All right? I think UPS is legalistic. No, they have a code of conduct for their employees. That's what they've set up. You don't have to be a believer or an unbeliever to wear or not wear facial hair. And that's the point there. So those things, those eight things, I believe, are things that we can encourage our young people to do and say, if you would like to be a member of this or student at the school, these are things that you have to do and that you can be a believer or an unbeliever and do them. And then the other things down below, your personal time knowing your God. Because we love you and desire God's best for you, we strongly encourage each student to seek to spend personal time with the Lord each day in Bible reading and prayer to learn Christ. And the ones at the bottom then, your conduct, and then on the back, your service and your witness, those are things that are directed to the parents of the students, not the students themselves, and saying, parents, this is our goal for your young people. And this is where we want you to work with them as well as working with us working with them in the same way. All right. Well, we can put that aside and we'll go back to our letter. If you wanted to just write down a little thing, a good reminder is the imperatives flow from the indicatives. All right. The imperatives flow from the indicatives. Commands are imperatives and they always come from truths. And as you read through the epistles, it's easy, and I've preached in chapel to the kids this, and I've said, you know, I remember just opening my Bible and saying, what is something that I can grab onto that I need to do today? And you go to the epistles, and if you go to the epistles, you go to the second half of the epistles, because that's where the commands come. But apart from the whole doctrinal truths of the first half of the epistles, there is no power to obey those commands, those imperatives, in the second half without the truths that are rooted and grounded in God and in Christ in the first half of those epistles. So the imperatives always flow out of the indicatives. If we just give imperatives without the gospel truth of Christ and God, then we very quickly fall into legalism and moralism because it's totally divorced of Christ or from Christ in that way. All right, paragraph 2. While God calls his people to identify and separate from false teachers, we have sometimes emphasized separation from any deviation of our own application of biblical principles to the point of unnecessarily isolating ourselves from other genuine believers and from the unsaved around us who need to hear the gospel. I gave an example of that the night that we did the Q&A, so if you wanted to hear an example, you could just go back and listen to that. We confess that such applications of separation are sinful, and where we have practiced that, we ask you to forgive us. We do believe in the doctrine of separation. We preach the truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel. And frankly, I have found in 20 years of ministry that you really, if you're faithful to what the Bible says, you really don't have to go around looking for people to separate from. Most of them will turn away from you. But there are times where we have to say, no, I can't cooperate with that. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God uses the gospel to change lives. We desire to see God work that change through his gospel here in our area and around the world. We will seek to build relationships with those who need the gospel. We will not isolate ourselves from those who need it the most. As we are in the world but not controlled by it, we will share God's message of truth and allow his Spirit to convert sinners. In Luke 9, 49 and 50, John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you." God's desire for his children is unity in the body of Christ, not an unbiblical, ecumenical unity that's anything goes, but it's a unity based on the truth of Scripture, on the truth of the gospel of Christ, on the truth of who Christ is and what he's done. Then it says, unbiblical isolation destroys that unity. Biblical separation will be in response to heresy, error, and or continued disobedience to direct commands of Scripture. Number three, while our service as elders is to be characterized by selfless love and humble care for the flock of Christ, following in the steps and example of the great shepherd, Jesus, from John 10, verses 11 through 17, there have been times where we have not displayed humility or graciousness in dealing with others. Failing to see and appreciate Jesus for who he is and for what he has done results in harsh, unloving, ungracious, and proud words, attitudes, and actions. We regret such interaction and commit ourselves to Christ-like leadership that displays both humble love and obedience. In those cases in which we have indeed sinned against God and you in this way, or made you feel unwelcome to approach us with real biblical concerns, we humbly ask you to forgive us in Christ. Philippians 2, 2 through 5, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Pride is a sin and cannot be part of a believer's life. The desire to put others first comes from Christ. We will seek to provide an atmosphere of love and care for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We will seek for that love to be evident through kindness and charity in all words and actions. Again, we do acknowledge and thank God for the many souls that he has brought to faith in Christ and grown here at BCC. At the same time, we must take responsibility for ministry practices that have failed to display the gospel as fully taught in the Scripture and has detracted from the truth that this church has proclaimed and stood for. We desire reconciliation with those we have sinned against. We as elders of Bible Community Church would welcome the opportunity to ask your forgiveness in person. Our desire is to glorify God, to think correctly about him, and to cause others to think correctly about him by what we do and say. If you are outside of Christ and have been full of bitterness because of something that we at BCC or MCS have done or said to you in the past, we pray that God can use this letter of confession and desire for forgiveness to draw you to himself. We are nothing more than a group of sinners in need of our Savior to grow us and keep us from repeating these sins again. And when we do fail, and we certainly do and will, we trust that we will recognize it quickly, that we will confess it as sin, and that we will be drawn back to Christ and his finished work on the cross for repentance, forgiveness, and victory over sin. Such is the Christian life. We stand humbled at the foot of the cross, seeking God's forgiveness through Christ and yours as well. Sincerely, the elders of Bible Community Church. Now, I want us to understand a couple of other things. Just because we read or publish a letter like this doesn't mean that all of a sudden we are just fine. I didn't want to label this a letter of apology because what is an apology? It just says, "I'm sorry," and there's a whole lot that gets lost in "I'm sorry." And I wanted to label it a letter of recognition and confession, repentance, and reconciliation. So we can say things, but we must live this out as well. A letter does not make any problems that we may still currently have under our surface. just go away and make them null and void and everything is all of a sudden hunky-dory. But we want to be humble. We want you to let us know if we have sinned against you, and we want to be a ministry that God uses because we are obeying him in what he commands us to do, what we know he commands us to do. Now, this is humbling. God means it to be. The Lord hates pride, and we are truly nothing outside of Christ. And may he give us grace to confess daily where we need to confess, to repent daily when he brings sin to our minds, and to reconcile daily with those that we have sinned against, all to the praise of his glorious name. Now, if you hear of someone in our community who has a serious complaint, the very easy thing to do is say, well, just get over it. That's not a good thing to do. That is not dealing with an issue biblically in a Christ-centered way. If you hear of someone like that because of some way that where we have not shown Christ to them, carry one of these letters around in an envelope and give it to them. Let them know that by God's grace, it's our desire to change, that by his grace, we are changing to be conformed to the image of Christ, and we want to be more conformed to the image of Christ. Some people have come to me after different messages during this past year, and they've said they have gone to other people that they know, they heard something in a message and said, I know that I sinned against so-and-so in this way. And I went to that person and I asked them to forgive me. And I said, great, that's what we want us to be. That's what we want to be known as. That's a church that's living out the gospel. Now, if you see something in your life where you have sinned in not reflecting Jesus correctly to someone else, recognize it, confess it as sin, repent of it, and run to Christ to deal with it and for him to give you the victory over it. And go to that person. If you know in your mind, I really need to talk to this person. Several people have said that to me this year. I have gone to people here since I've been here for the past 2 years. People that I have sinned against during these 2 years, and I can think of someone that I went to that I sinned against 30 years ago. That sin does not define me. Jesus defines me. And if you're in Christ today, Jesus defines you. And Jesus came to save sinners from their sin. And so we're not defined by our sin. Those are blemishes on us, but we are defined by the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we need to live in a way that is walking worthy of that calling. Now, if that's the case, go humbly and confess and repent and make it right with whoever you need to make that right with. Now, if someone would hear this or read this, our greatest desire as a church is that you know Jesus Christ. If it's somebody who's not here tonight and they would hear this later on, if they could come here and worship with us after these steps, we would love that. But we also recognize that when there are hurts and sins against others, sometimes that just really isn't possible. That would be our desire, but sometimes that's not possible. And we understand that. And we trust that if there is someone like that, that they would be able to find a church where Jesus is made much of, and that they would know his grace and his love that comes through Christ. We want you to go on with Christ if you're that person. And if you hear of something from someone, ask them to come to us. Tell them what God is doing in us as a people and as a church and as a school by his grace. And again, we're not perfect. We're not claiming to be perfect. This doesn't end any problem that we may have, but this puts us on, this is where we want to go. This is where we want to be. This is who we want to be in Jesus Christ. Now, I do need to say too, this was not a unanimous vote by our elders. We have 5 elders. This was not a unanimous vote. Of the 5 elders, the vote was 3-2. In favor of passing this. And as I mentioned, this really has been grueling to all of us. We had a meeting Monday night of this past week, one of many that we've had, and Wednesday of this past week. I don't know if I was the only one. I would think not, but I wasn't able to get to sleep Monday night till about 4 in the morning. and I woke up at 7:30. And then we had a meeting Wednesday night, and I didn't sleep for a single minute all of Wednesday night. So it's been a long, hard thing for all of us as elders. This is hard. And Tom Spence told us that he didn't believe that he could sign the letter as it comes from all of the elders. And so he has said that he is resigning from the elder board. And he believes that, and he is free to believe that. He can believe that. That's okay. We don't hate Tom at all. We understand his position, and that is his position, and so he's standing for his position. We have voted on this, and we're proceeding with it, and we're going to put it online so it gets to whoever it needs to get to, so that we might seek reconciliation with those that we need to be reconciled to. And so may God give us much grace and much love for Christ to live honestly and soberly and righteously in this present world to the honor and glory of his name. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we confess that these things are not easy. And they are not easy, Father, and you know our Lord Jesus had to face conflict and confront issues during his whole life on this earth. Lord, we pray that you would give us your mind on these things. We ask that, we humbly ask that you would forgive us for where we have offended you first and foremost, and then offended and sinned against others in these areas that we have mentioned tonight. Father, we humbly recognize that we are all sinners, trusting, Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who trust in Christ are but sinners saved by your grace. None of us are better than any others. And so what defines us in this life is Christ and his gospel. And I ask that you would help us to be quick to see when we sin against others, whether that be our children, whether that be our spouse, our parents, our students or our teachers, our members in a church or the leadership. Father, wherever that comes from, may we be quick by your Spirit's power to recognize our sin, to confess it, to turn from it, and to make things right with those that we can. Father, thank you for such a wonderful Savior who gave his life for sinners like us. May we be quick to run to Jesus in this week. And we ask that you would use this for the honor and glory of your name and for the good of your people in Bible Community Church and in Mentor Christian School. And we pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.